My bad.
I'd like to begin this morning by sharing with you some of the ministries of Grace Church from the 1887 Parish Yearbook. It's been many years since Grace Church has produced a parish yearbook, but the annual report you'll receive next Sunday comes pretty close in terms of sharing information and statistics about the year just past. Like most things, though, it won't be nearly as beautifully produced as these yearbooks from the old days, nor will it contain the home addresses of every Episcopal priest in the city of Providence, for which I'm sure my fellow rectors are glad. But what mostly struck me when reading the 1887 yearbook was how much of society's social safety net was held up by the church in those days. This was, after all, long before Social Security or Medicare or unemployment benefits or the foster care system or the Affordable Care Act. Based on recent developments on that last one, we in the church may need to re-enter the healthcare field in the near future. Here then are some of the ministries of our parish 130 years ago. The Employment Bureau, the Girls Friendly Society, which aided children working in local mills, the Home for Aged Women, the Home for Aged Men, and the Irrepressible Society. As to the mission of that last one, I can only guess. We could have long and meaningful discussions as a church or as a society about the proper role of the government in caring for those in need. For better or worse, over the centuries, the church has essentially convinced the culture at large that there should be taxpayer-funded systems in place to provide help to those who need it. In fact, I've heard it said that so successful has the church been in persuading society of this through our own example that we can essentially declare victory and go home. Caring for those in need is indeed at the very heart of the gospel. We all nod with agreement whenever we hear the prophet Isaiah prioritizing acts of mercy over ritual observance. In the very first chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, God says, "I cannot endure your solemn assemblies, your new moons, and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. Rather, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." Those acts of mercy and justice should be front and center in our communal life. Both this morning's Old Testament and Gospel passages are, on first reading, wonderful examples of this focus on justice and mercy. But if we look closely, they actually give us more guidance, more instruction than simply make sure the needs of all are met, as crucial and as central as that is to the religious life. First verse from this morning's reading from the prophet Micah is a favorite of Christians and Jews the world over. "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." If you're going to memorize just one verse from the Old Testament, it'd be hard to do better than that one. This teaching from Micah comes in three parts. The first has to do with treating all fairly. We should do this no matter who those people are, or where they come from, or what they look like, or what they possess, or what they believe, or whom they love, or anything else. The second instruction from Micah this morning is for us to, quote, love kindness. We are not simply to be kind, not simply to offer a helping hand to someone in need, but to love kindness, to find joy in helping others. Remember what St. Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians. He says, "If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Our kindness is meant both to help with the material and emotional needs of another person, and also to open our own hearts and deepen our own joy. Final instruction from the prophet Micah is that we should walk humbly with our God. I take this to mean two things. One, God is God and we are not. And two, that we pray such that we might more deeply revere and appreciate the world God has made and the people God has placed in our lives. If the religious life is about both action and reflection, those final words from Micah are about reflection, which hopefully inspire us to action. If in this passage from Micah we have one of the favorite Old Testament passages of Christians around the world, we have what may be in today's reading the best known and most beloved passage from the New Testament, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In the sermon, we are given 9 sayings of Jesus that we refer to as the Beatitudes, only 2 or perhaps 3 of which have to do with actually taking action in the cause of the gospel. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy, and blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The others, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in heart, blessed are those who mourn, are about the disposition of our hearts more than the actions of our hands. 5 centuries before the Sermon on the Mount and half a world away, the Buddha offered his teaching called the Noble Eightfold Path, 8 teachings rather than 9. And similarly, of his 8, less than half have to do with taking action. The others, right view, right resolve, right mindfulness, are also about the disposition of one's heart and mind. Right balance between prayerful reflection and principled action has been pondered and discussed by Christians and likely by Buddhists and Jews and others for centuries. Despite the fact that governments in many countries, including ours, have taken on much of the material support that had in past generations been done by churches, we still as Christians have a role to play, both in offering support to those in need, but just as importantly, in offering a welcoming heart and listening ear that comes not from a government program, but simply from our desire to follow Christ's commandment that we love others as ourselves and welcome the stranger in our midst. In this new year, as we build new spaces and refurbish old ones here at Grace Church, we are beginning to envision new ways in which that work will allow us to care for our community both with our hands and our hearts, and in our own lives as well. We should also keep in mind this call God has for us to act, reflect, and pray, to do justice, to seek kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. Amen.